Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this first Sunday of Advent is our gospel reading in Matthew chapter 21. Behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Christ our Lord rides into Jerusalem that Sunday before the betrayal, the arrest, the trial, and the crucifixion, and is hailed as the victor. His victory will be accomplished by his seeming defeat. And for a day and a half, the devil smacks his lips and claps his companions on the back, and the disciples hide for fear that they might be next. He rides in lowly majesty, is greeted by songs of praise from the lips of children. They recognize in him the King of grace, who rules by forgiveness, who has come to save them. Whether they fully understood or not is not significant. They believed. They confessed. God was pleased while the angels wept. He who rode that borrowed colt knew full well what was in store. He knew that he'd be drugged back into that city of peace under bondage and arrest, and that he'd leave it again in the same way, but with a cross beam heavy with the world's guilt upon his back. He knew, and so he rode. For this is the way that a kingdom of grace is won. This is the way that souls belonging to the devil are snatched away from hell's fire, hell's just fire, and placed upon the shepherd's strong shoulders. This is the way that the Father's will is accomplished, and death is defeated once and for all. Why then were the Pharisees afraid? What threat was he to them? What could drive them to their scheming, evil plots to arrange the execution of a truly innocent and good man? Just this: he came to be king, and they knew it. Not a king like Caesar or Herod, but a king like Satan, their prince. A king whose reign supersedes boundaries and time. He came to rule in the hearts of men, to claim their lives. Claiming them, he allowed no other. He would not share their affection. He would not buy them off with sugary, sweet, but deadly pleasures of the flesh. He would not let them have control. And on top of that, he was indiscriminate. He would be the king of all, even the worst sorts, even tax collectors and prostitutes, drug addicts and divorcees, illegal immigrants and pornographers, Pharisees and liars. His ways are radical and unsettling. To those well established in the bowels of bureaucratic religion, he is a maverick, a dangerous instigator, setting impossible standards on the one hand and removing all standards and demands with the other. But worst of all, the most unthinkable thing for the bureaucrats, for those engaged and concerned with the health and well-being of the institution, he doesn't make anyone pay. He heals and preaches without ever asking for a dime. He acts as if the whole world is his. He is so simple, so obvious in a way, so undeniable, and yet at the same time, so unbending, so unlikable to our fallen flesh. That is the trouble with the truth. It grabs hold and won't let go. Even if you can fool the whole world, even if you can look and act pristine and perfect all the time, seem guilty of no foul odors, no wicked thoughts, no bad words, deep inside, you know the truth. You know you are a phony, a charlatan, a hypocrite. You know the stink of your own flesh, the malice, lust, greed, and pride that resides in your own heart, your secret ambitions and dirty little secrets, the 1,001 lies you've told with no good reason, your private prejudices and judging ways. You are not good enough. It doesn't matter if you've done a better job than others, if you've impressed men or have a purer doctrine. It's not enough. You are still a sinner. And besides, you haven't and don't anyway. Repent. For this, for you, he rode. He rode into Jerusalem, silent to the slaughter, a willing sacrifice caught in the thicket of his unbending love. And then for a day and a half, the devil smacked his lips and clapped his companions on the back, and the disciples hid for fear that they might be next. But then, yes, then the day and a half was past. The time was up. The last great Sabbath was complete. The devil stops laughing as his rotten skull caves in under the heel he bit. The Prince of Peace lives. He has risen from the grave, taken up his mantle, claimed the spoils of that triumph. The disciples will be next, just as they feared. But by grace, they are no longer afraid. Now they see that death has lost its sting. They have been forgiven, restored into the communion of the Spirit, enlightened with the light that drives out all darkness, adopted into the family of the everlasting Father. They have died, been drowned to death. God is on their side. Of what then can they be afraid? God became one of them. He died their death, paid their ransom, and rose for their victory. Death, sin, the devil, and hell no longer have any claim on them. They are free. They are righteous. Our King reigns by and in that same grace. He has done what you could not. And what he says is enough. It is enough to cover all your sins, to remove all your guilt and shame, to erase your past, and to build your future. It is enough. There is no need for anything else. And he still rides. He rides into our sanctuary on bread and wine. He slips inside of sinners through their mouths and cleans them from the inside out, feeding them with his skin and bones, his bloody cartilage, the genetic material of St. Mary. He changes what comes out of them. So that you, who know him as your king, still shout and sing, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And what comes out of you, by him who has been placed inside of you, sanctifies you. It doesn't matter whether you fully understand these mysteries or not, which you don't. That is not significant. You believe. You confess. God is pleased. The angels rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever in Christ Jesus. Amen.